overlooking downtown Phoenix. From the Faith Talk Studios in the Camelback Towers, it's the Dustin Daniels Show, where God, sex, and current events are explored from a Christian perspective. Here's your host, Dustin Daniels.
One of the pastors at my church gave me a book to read last year. He told me this amazing story of how he read this book before he got married and how it changed his life. So I was intrigued, and I love to read, so I put this book on my reading stack. And fast forward to just a few months ago, and my wife and I, we seemed to not be on the same page, and we were increasingly becoming more frustrated with each other. And well, it just so happened that Amy's mother needed help out of town with her business, and so we decided it would be good for her to visit her mom and help. And we both knew that we also needed a break from one another. But of course, we were just, you know, we were just too polite to say that. And during the 10 days that Amy was gone, I started reading that book. And it's titled Discovering the Mind of a Woman. The author is Ken Nair. And I got to chapter 4 and I had to stop. And I had to stop because I knew that Amy needed to get home so I could go through this book with her. I needed to confess my sin towards her. I needed to repent of my attitude towards her. And this book, man, I tell you, it was so unbelievably timely. It was exactly what I needed to read at that moment to understand why we weren't on the same page. And that kind of sounds like a God thing, doesn't it? Well, I realized that I couldn't wait to confess my sin until she got home. I had to call her and at least start the conversation. So I did that. But when she got home a few days later, we went through the first chapter of this book together. And I went over all my highlighted areas in the book of what the author Ken Nair said. And I shared with her my thoughts and I confessed my sin. And we talked and we cried. And at the end of about an hour, something happened that I've never seen or experienced. Amy excused herself and she went to the bedroom and she crawled into the bed and she wept. And it was a type of crying that I've never seen before. It was what I would say like a deep cry of relief. And see, my sin was not putting her first. My sin, I was putting the ministry of Seven Places, I was putting this radio show, I was putting other people first. And I would make excuses. I rationalized my behavior, but at the end of the day, I sinned greatly against my wife, and I'm ashamed of that. And I confess that to you as James 5:16 command. And it's just like God to make messes into ministries. Or in this case, a radio show. So I'm excited to have Ken Nair, author of Discovering the Mind of a Woman, with me in studio today. Ken is also the founder of Christ Quest Ministries. Ken, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's good here to be with you.
I was reading through your bio, and you have literally discipled thousands of men over 40 years. Is that right?
Yes.
That is absolutely insane. I love it. And you disciple families and men through this book that I'm talking about. Is that right? Discovering the Mind of a Woman?
Yes, that's the starting place.
That's the starting place?
Yeah, the book is the starting place. And then there's a study guide that goes with it after you've read the book. And then if you read the book and you're still interested, we have a seminar, which will be taking place this September 9 and 10 here in Phoenix. And then after that is a three-year discipleship course. And that's full of lessons and Bible study homework and group meetings and practical application.
So to learn more about Ken, you can visit ChristQuestMinistries.com. And you can learn more about the actual conference coming up in September here in Phoenix. And I would certainly encourage you to get involved in that. My wife and I are certainly going to be there. And I know there's some other members of our church that's going to be there, too. Ken, let's talk about just a little background on you. How did you get started in this discipleship world? Give us a little bit of what your idea of home and family looked like as a kid growing up.
Okay, thanks. I grew up in an orphanage, in a couple of orphanages. My introduction into the world, my mom got some afterbirth difficulties, and so we went to a foster home and were there for a couple of years. And then we went into our first orphanage. I have a twin brother.
Mm. Okay.
And he's my older brother by 12 minutes. So we went into the orphanage, and she was a single woman because she was married, but the man she married married to give the boys a name so we wouldn't be illegitimate. And so because she was still single, she was having to work, couldn't take care of us, so we went into orphanages. And the second orphanage I went into was a Christian orphanage, and you could go to any church you wanted to as long as it's Nazarene. And I accepted Christ as my Savior at 13 in that church. And the interesting thing to me was that it was a particularly stirring testimony or sermon, and I felt I wanted to do something. And an elderly silver-haired gentleman, and I almost hate saying that anymore, reached up, tapped me on the shoulder, and said, "Do you want to go forward?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And so I went forward, received Christ as my Savior, never saw that guy again, never saw him before, never saw him after.
Wow.
But anyhow, at that point then, my mom remarried and invited us home at 14. And so I had no familiarity with what a family was, what a marriage was, and no frame of reference at all. So when I got married to Nancy, that was a highlight of my life.
Sure.
But I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea.
Mm.
The only thing I knew about women was what the guys told me, and boy, were they wrong.
Right.
And so I had to start from there, and we had been married for 13 years. When Nancy said to me, "I married you, that was my choice, so I guess I got to live with my choice." But the kids did not. They didn't have a choice. "And I am not going to let you do to them what you do to me." And I thought, "What are you saying?"
Mm.
And she said, I don't want you to damage the kids like you did me." I'm like, "Are you telling me that you're trying to protect the children from me?" And she said, "Absolutely." Well, that was kind of a wake-up call for me.
Sure, absolutely.
And so at that point, I thought, okay, I was working for a Christian ministry, and I did not know that you could be emotionally abused so severely until I went to that ministry and was working there. I remember I would come home from things that were going on there. For example, I use the illustration that there were four single guys there, 14 single secretaries, one other married man, and myself. And they would have me loading a semi-truck in the middle of the night so it'd be ready to go. And I'm thinking, why don't they have single guys here doing this? I could be home with my family. And so I remember going home, and she gave me the head shake, like she said, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And when she gave me a head shake, she didn't say anything. And I said, "What's that mean?" She says, "You do the same thing to me." I said, "I've never had you loading a truck in the middle of the night." And so we talked for about 3 hours on that before I realized it was the emotions she was saying. Mm. What you felt when they did that to you is what I feel because you treat me the same way.
Wow.
Disrespectfully, et cetera. And so I spent the next 8 years trying to figure out how to live with my wife in an understanding way because I read the Bible. In fact, I was walking home one night from work because I didn't get to go on a staff retreat with them because Nancy didn't want me to.
Mm.
We just moved there, had been there for about 3 weeks. Our furniture was arriving. She said, "No, you can't go on a staff retreat. The furniture is coming." And I'm thinking, the people who unload the truck will put everything exactly where you want. You don't need me to be there.
Right.
And she was insistent. So I had her talk to my boss, and my boss talk to her and decide I wasn't going to go. And I was so stinking angry. No, wait a minute. Christians don't get angry. Very upset. And so I'm walking home, and as I'm walking home, I felt the Holy Spirit, as though the Holy Spirit was asking me a question. Do you love your wife? And I thought, no. That shocked me. That surprised me, because I thought I did before.
Mm.
And so when I realized that, I thought, God, I've got to do something about this. And I asked him, this is back in 1971. I said, God, would you help me learn how to love my wife from your perspective? Would you help me learn how to be her spiritual leader, in fact, not just in title? But I didn't have any idea what I was asking for. Boy, was I in for a surprise.
Right.
But that's where it started.
That is absolutely amazing. Well, your book really struck many, many chords with me personally, and I can't thank you enough for it. We're going to talk about the four male prejudices, and we're gonna start with the number one prejudice when we return, and that is that women are impossible to understand. Right? How many jokes have we heard on this? You're listening to the Dustin Daniels Show.
Can we do a show for you? If these words sound familiar, you might be growing weary of being the audience.
Here's Dr. Tim Kimmel with a Family Matters Minute.
Children seem to always be ready to put on a show. Part of the excitement of being a kid is gaining the applause and approval of an audience. And parents, you're what we like to call a captive audience. There are two problems we typically face when our kids get the urge for one of their shows. First, our kids are usually only legends in their own mind. What's legendary to them may not be as riveting to you. Secondly, our kids usually want to entertain us at the most inconvenient times. Parents, I urge you to make time to lean into the show. Sooner than you think, your little entertainers will take gigs at their own house, and your living room stage will go dark.
If you want your role as a parent to be one of the highlights of your life, stop by FamilyMatters.net for help. That's FamilyMatters.net.
You are listening to God, Sex, and Current Events. I'm your host, Dustin Daniels. My guest today is Ken Nair, author of Discovering the Mind of a Woman. He's the founder of Christ Quest Ministries. And once again, you can learn more about Ken at ChristQuestMinistries.com. And Ken, in your book, you talk about the four male prejudices about women. And the first one is this idea that women are just impossible to understand. And you tell us in the book that you brought that attitude into your marriage. Yep. How did that work for you?
If you ask any man anywhere in the world, do you understand the mind of woman? What's his response going to be? And I asked it yesterday, and the guy says, impossible.
Right.
And no, it can't be done, etc. And yet, it's a command from God in the Bible. Husbands, live with your wife in an understanding way.
Yeah.
And it's not a request. It's not a, what do you think about the idea of? It's a command. And so I'm reading that, and I'm thinking, okay, this seems impossible to me. Why would God ask me to do something that's impossible? And he wouldn't. But I had no idea what it would take to learn to live with her in an understanding way, because she lives in a different place than I do. She lives in her heart. I live in my head.
Mm.
And so it's going to require then that I become, let me give you this idea. I was at a women's Bible study, and they asked me to speak there. And I mentioned this, it says, husbands, live with your wife in an understanding way. And one of the women said to me, that applies to women too. And I said, really? I said, it says husbands. And I think God knows the difference when he wrote that.
Yes, indeed.
So yeah. If it says husbands, live with your wife in an understanding way, and it doesn't say women too, then the command is to husbands. But I didn't know why. And so I understood they live at a different place. They live in their heart. I live in my head. And so does God want me to learn how to live in my heart? Now, let me make the change. The word heart in the Bible, the Jews and the Greeks use the word heart to depict the center of a person's being, their essence, their spirit. So when it talks about as a man thinketh in his heart, it's not that the the muscle that pumps blood has the capacity to think. It's that he's talking about the spirit. The spirit has a mind. And so I'm looking at that, and I say, okay, I have to live with my wife in this anyway. And she lives in her spirit. And that means I have to learn how to understand her spirit, because I'm commanded to be her spiritual leader.
Right.
And I don't even know what that means. And I've asked guys, do you know how to lead your wife's spirit? And they're like, what? I said, do you know how to lead your wife's spirit? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Right.
So I had to learn that, to learn that when my wife says something, she's talking from her heart. I'm listening from my head. So let's say a wife says to her husband, why don't you just stick a knife in me and get it over with? And the husband says, excuse me? You want me to stick a knife in you? She says, no. But that's what you said. Yeah, I know that's what I said, but that's not what I mean. Well, if that's not what you mean, why'd you say it? And the wife ends up saying, I'm sorry I even talked to you. I don't want to talk to you. Forget I even said anything. And the husband's like, and you think I got a problem? You talk crazy. But if he understood her, he would say, she is saying, you hurt me so bad, so much, so often, it's killing me. If you want to kill me, why don't you just stick a knife in me and get it over with? Because you hurt me so bad.
Wow.
And he doesn't know that. Why? Because he doesn't live with his wife in an understanding way. So I had to learn a different language. I had to learn how to speak womanese. And that does not come natural.
So women are not impossible to understand from God's perspective. He's very clear in his word, and whether or not we're going to take the initiative to work towards that goal.
That's the difficulty. They're not impossible to understand. Difficult, but not difficult because they're difficult, but because difficult because I got to get my sin nature to yield to God and the Holy Spirit in me and make myself, like Scripture talked about, self-control, discipline, et cetera. I have to discipline myself.
Yeah. Women are impossible to understand. That is the first male prejudice about women. Number two, Ken, you write that we believe that women are the real problem.
Oh, yeah. And I believe the church almost emphasizes that because, for example, let's say a husband says, she's always pushing my buttons. And so the leadership or the counselor in the Christian community will say, well, stop pushing his buttons. And I'm saying, no. If she's pushing your buttons, do you notice that every time she pushes your buttons, your sin nature shows up? She's like, yeah. I said, you have your very own personal private flesh revealer.
We don't want that, Ken.
I hear you. But instead of saying, get her to stop pushing the buttons, get rid of the buttons. And she's showing you where the buttons are that you can get rid of. But to get rid of it, I'm going to have to understand God's ways. And the word sin in the Christian community is almost obsolete anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But if I am reacting in an unchristlike way towards my wife, that's sin. Let's say, for example, I'm doing something. I'm reading something, and I'm into it. And Nancy calls my name. And I look up with an impatient, disgusted look on my face, and I say, what?
Right.
Now, is that sin? And my sin nature says, no, I just ask what? And it redefines that sin in a way that's not sinful so that it can still stay that influence in my life.
Mm.
And so what I need to learn how to do is recognize that God has used her to help me see my sin, to help me. Oh, where have I heard that word before? Helper. She's my helper, designed as such by God to help me. Help me what? If I learn to live with her in an understanding way, I'll be familiar with a different realm. I'll have to learn how to speak womanese.
You know, I love your example in your book on this male prejudice that women are the real problem, because you say in some of your conference, the guys are like, hey, Ken, when are you going to get to the women?
Yeah.
Let's deflect here. And what does that question reveal about us?
I don't think I'm the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if she calls me in the middle of my doing something and I say, what? I don't think that's a problem. I think she interrupted me. Well, I was supposed to be like Christ, who said, come unto me, all you're weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest if you don't ask me at the wrong time.
I can only be Christ-like when it's convenient for me, right? Right, Ken?
Yeah. So the idea is, if my goal is to be like Christ, and that's my goal. See, I want every encounter that Nancy has with me for her to feel like she's had an encounter with Christ. That's my goal.
When we actually start looking like Christ, then obviously the dynamics of the marriage change completely.
Totally. We don't even know, because it hasn't happened enough for us to see, that if I can learn how to lay down my life for my wife, like Christ did for the church, that she will follow. We don't see examples of that. Can I give you one?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Here's a guy whose wife left him. They were leaders in the church. And because they were leaders in the church, everybody looked to them for leadership. Well, they were having some problems. So she went to her leadership in the church, and she wanted to know if they could help her with the problems. And she's like, she says they didn't have answers. She realized they did not have answers. And so as a result, she decided, I'm done with Christianity. Mm. So basically, she took her Bible, put it on the highest shelf in her house, along with God, her Christian testimony, everything about her involvement in the church, everything, prayer life, put it up on that shelf, walked out and started doing everything she had taught other women not to do, being with men, bars, drinking, dancing, all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And so I started working with him. And he says, she's the one that broke the vow. She left the marriage. She's the one who's ruined this thing. She's walked out on me. And I said, do I hear anger, hostility, critical spirit, judgmentalism? And he said, yeah, what do you expect? I said, Christ-likeness.
Mm.
What if that was like Christ? He said, I guess it wasn't. I said, you guess or you know? And so 4 years later, she came back. She said, I saw you change. I just didn't think it'd last.
Wow. My guest today is Ken Nair, author of Discovering the Mind of a Woman. You can visit ChristQuestMinistries.com to learn more about Ken's ministry. And you're going to find all the information on that. Also, his 3-year discipleship program as well. Well, if you're new to the program, you can visit DustinDanielsRadio.com and listen to the over 150 shows that we have as well. We'll visit more with Ken next week. God bless you.
The Dustin Daniels Radio Show is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with regard to the subject matter covered. This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering counseling advice for your personal situation. If you need further help, we encourage you to seek the services of a Christ-based counseling professional. For more information on the radio show, visit DustinDanielsRadio.com.